Well, we're coming to ask the Lord to meet us here today and give us the right words to say, to be a blessing and a challenge to us all. I'd like to write a few words on the board, thinking about our service this morning, and seemed like I woke up yesterday morning with a inspiration. I'm very grateful for every time that happens. I depend on that heavily. And just want the Lord to bless what we have to say to be a real challenge to us. So I'll write a few words up here. So I got a couple of those terms switched around from the notes I'd wrote, but might work out better that way. So I've wrote up there, charged, discharged, surface charge, fast charge, and trickle charge. So my thought was, I don't know, we have something we deal with in our line of work that we call parasitic drain. And now none of us likes the thought of a parasite, at least I don't. But yet there are parasites in our world that we look on as having some benefits. One of those being mistletoe. Anybody ever think of mistletoe as something that's appealing, attractive? We associate mistletoe sometimes with maybe with Christmas or other times. And, you know, there's mistletoe in the trees all during the summertime, but you don't really see it until the foliage falls away. And then a lot of times you'll see the mistletoe up there. And mistletoes have no root system, no ability to extract nutrients and moisture from the soil. They're a parasite, and they only grow up in a tree. You don't see a mistletoe bush alongside the road or in the woods. It's always up in a tree, and it has to have a tree to survive. So I don't know why God made mistletoe like that, but he did, so here we go. The reason you have parasitic drains on your car is everybody likes your clock to remember what time it is, right? I like for my car to remember the things that it's learned. You know, our cars learn things about us, how we drive, how we accelerate, and they remember that. Today we have cars that have a lot of adaptations, and that for them to adapt to driving characteristics, the type of fuel you put in it and all of that, it has to remember that. And to remember that, it has to use a little bit of electricity to keep that memory alive. So therefore we have parasitic drains. And parasitic drains, sometimes when things go awry, we have to determine what's causing that. That's another subject. We won't talk about that. Just thinking about, we have to have the capacity and be charged. If you have a defective battery or one that's not being recharged when you're driving it, then parasitic drain becomes a huge issue. And just recently, we had a battery. This seems to be the year of the batteries at my house, but had a battery that failed while we were in Louisiana on our travel trailer, and it was a little bit of a hazardous situation. But I didn't realize until after we got home from that, and then after I went to Monarch, and I was getting ready to hook up to come back to the house, I realized that my battery that I had replaced in Louisiana didn't have enough capacity to raise my trailer so I could hook back on. And I realized that, anyway, a couple things had failed. And so I've got that all resolved now. But there was a circuit breaker that had tripped that kept my battery from being recharged. And it'll just lift the trailer so many times until the battery's dead. So I run out of capacity. Parasitic drains, use of various kinds, will drain our batteries. So it's important for us to be spiritually charged and not in a discharged state. If we're discharged, things just don't... There's some really strange things that happen when battery voltage starts getting low. For instance, and I'll try to not dwell entirely on my work experience, but if your battery voltage gets low, many times things like the radio, your instrument cluster, and air conditioning, and those kind of things just stop working, even while the car's still running. It'll just shut off. You're going down the road, and you wonder, what happened? Well, you know, when we become spiritually discharged, then there's going to be things that don't function like it should. And I was thinking, all of us want to have our batteries in good shape. I mean, none of us like to go around. I mean, I carry a pair of jumper cables, but I don't really like using those. I don't know anybody that does. But I know sometimes people are in circumstances that they have to use maybe a jumper cables pretty regularly. And but nobody just keeps them in the front seat like just waiting for another time to use my jumper cables. You'd like to have your batteries in good shape. I would. I do. So I'd like to look over here in the book of Job, the first chapter. And we all know the story of Job. Not going to read it all. Not going to read very much. Just going to read a couple verses. And Job chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present them before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." I don't believe this setting was up in the God's heaven, but I do believe it was in a place of worship. And the Lord said, just by the way, I believe the devil would come in with us when we came here today, and he would like to cause you to be discouraged. He'd like to attack you while you're here. But that's a side thought. Verse 7 says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that his battery is fully charged?" Now that's not exactly what it says. It says that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. So God's testimony of Job was that he was fully charged, that he was in good shape. And I would hope that all of us here this morning would have an aspiration that the Lord would help us be fully charged. That not just fully charged, but that we would have adequate capacity to where we can withstand. You know, I put a new battery in my trailer in Louisiana, and it lifted the trailer. I hooked up. I got home. I disconnected it. I leveled the trailer out. I took it to Monarch and, you know, connecting, unconnect, all this stuff. And there's other things that run off of this battery from time to time. And we were experiencing some things while we were there at Monarch and realized something wasn't quite right, but I didn't realize how much of a problem I had until I went to hook back up. And that's when I realized I had a real problem. But here God's testimony of Job was that he's spiritually sound. He's spiritually solid. Got the capacity. Voltage level is up, if you will, up where it should be. And we know what happened to Job, and he was severely tested, was he not? He was severely tested. But how did it turn out? It turned out good, didn't it? The end of that turned out good. And that's what we want, the end to turn out well. So it's important for us to have the spiritual capacity and be fully charged. And notice someone else. Let's go back to Genesis, the 18th chapter. And we'll notice someone else that's mentioned in the scripture that I believe was spiritually sound. In Genesis, the 18th chapter, I'm going to read a couple verses here in verse 17 through 19. And it says, "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" He's talking about consequences for Sodom and Gomorrah here. And he said, "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, and the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." So I believe in these verses that God was saying Abraham is spiritually sound. In the New Testament, we recognize that he is being labeled as the father of what? The faithful. Faithfulness. He had the capacity. He was up. His charge level was correct. And that's what we want, isn't it? I hope none of us here want to run around partially discharged. I would think that all of us, you know, if you got power tools, a lot of the power tool batteries have a button on them you can push and tell what the charge level is. And if it's not charged up and you got a job you're fixing to do, what do? You put it on the charger. What we ought to do in our spiritually, if we recognize our charge level is not what it ought to be, if our capacity is not at its maximum potential, then let's get charged up. Isn't that why we come here? I hope it is. That's why I come to service, because I want someone to give me something that'll help my charge level come back up if it's been drained at any level. So we have experiences in life that discharge us spiritually. All of us have those. There are things that I look back over my life and realize there's been times in my life that I have literally and spiritually felt like the plug got pulled out. And it was just like, years ago, my dad bought a boat because, not a big boat, it was just a boat to go fishing in. And of course, when we were out on the little river that we would go take the boat out on, many times we got water in the boat from dragging stuff over the side and various things. And so Dad had, dads teach boys these kind of things. If you had the boat going at full tilt down the water, down the river, you could lean over and pull the plug out while you're going, and it'll suck that water out of the back. Don't do that while you're sitting still because you'll sink. But he'd do that multiple times. We'd get water in the boat, and we'd be going back to the house, and he'd reach over and pull that plug out and suck it out. And there are times that we feel like somebody has literally pulled that plug out. I've had it. And I'm guessing we could go around the room and everybody here and say, yes, maybe today you feel like your plug has been pulled out. I'd like to turn to 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, and I want to read a little bit, and we'll talk a little bit about this, as someone that had an experience in life that pulled his plug. Now, the story is about Elijah, and Elijah had been a very faithful man, And he had told the king, it's not going to rain. And it didn't rain for about 3.5 years, I believe. And at the end of that, he said, get all the prophets of Baal, gather them up here, and we're going to... he presented this to the people. We'll have the prophets of Baal, and I'll meet you there, and we'll prepare some sacrifices, and whoever God answers by fire, you'll know that's the real God. You know that story, right? And I don't have to read it all to you, but... And we know how it turned out. The God of heaven answered by fire, burn up the sacrifice, burn up the rocks, burn up the wood, burn up the water. I mean, it was just all consumed. There was no doubt in people's mind that this was the real God. And the prophets of Baal had got nothing. Their meat was still raw. They didn't even pour water on theirs. And Elijah was able to instruct the people, and they got rid of the prophets of Baal. He said, man, he must have had his battery charged up. Well, maybe going into all of that he did. But what I see, and let's go to 19 and verse 2. It says, and Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. She's referring to all the prophets of Baal that had been killed because their God, they didn't really have a God, you see. And when he saw that, Elijah saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servants there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die and said, it's enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Let's stop there a minute. So, Elijah, this man that God had used so powerfully to overthrow the control that this idol worship had over the people, was running scared. And I have read those verses many times, and I thought, Elijah, what was you thinking? The Lord had just worked through you and wrought a mighty deliverance, and here you're running from a woman. You should have said, Jezebel, you got this wrong. We're coming after you next. You know, I'm 2020 hindsight, right? I'm looking back in the past and I'm saying, Elijah, why on earth would you run from this? That's such an empty threat. How could she make that come to pass? But what did Elijah do? He ran, and he dropped his servant off on the way, and then he took off by his... How many times does that not describe us when we have got into a discharged state and something has pulled our plug, so to speak, and we feel like, I just got to get away, and you crawl off in a hole somewhere by yourself and wish you could die? I would venture that all of us here has had something that's so discouraging that's happened to us in life, especially those of us that's, past 30 or 40 or something like that. We've all had those things, and it's like, what's the use? I don't even know why I try anymore. It'd be better off if the world just go on without me. We've all had those thoughts that's come to our minds. I promise. Why would he do that? Did Elijah have his battery charged up when he went into that? I would say yes, he did. But sometimes there are loads put on us, spiritual loads put on us, that is more than can be recharged in a short amount of time. Elijah, can you imagine living under the stress of knowing you're the one that prophesied, it's not going to rain until I tell you it is. He lived 3.5 years like that. And then he called the ultimatum. Y'all show up, I'll show up. We'll see which God can answer by fire. And all of the mental, spiritual, emotional stress and strain that was on Elijah that day, we look on and say, wow. It would have been nice to saw that from a, you know, been a little bird there or a fly on the wall or something. It'd been nice to be in that crowd to see that demonstration. But Elijah was up on the front lines. And his spiritual reserve had been drained out of him. And he was in a weakened, discharged state when Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you. You killed my prophets, I'm going to kill you. And to me, to us today, and I still look on it and I say that is one of the most absurd, empty. The people would not have stood for that. They would have, if she had mounted up an army and come after Elijah, the people would have stood in the way. Because they just saw this. There is no way we're going to let some wicked queen overthrow somebody that has that much clout with God. We're not going to do it. There was too many safeguards in place. God himself wouldn't have let it happen. I don't believe. I just can't believe that God would have let that happen to Elijah at that time. But Elijah's spiritual charge level was drained. But he got a fast charge. Let's look at here at this verse. It says, and he lay and slept, verse 5, under a juniper tree. Behold, then, an angel touched him and said, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake, baking on coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And then he got to that cave and he got put on a different kind of charger. But right here at this time, the Lord knew that Elijah was discharged. He knew that he had been overwhelmed emotionally, all of his spiritual, and he didn't come and say, Elijah, what on earth are you doing? I gave you such a mighty deliverance and power. You need to go back up there where you was at. He did not chew him out. But he said, here's some food. Get up and eat. You're going to need. I think there was something going on here besides just filling his tummy. He got some spiritual recharge at that time. The Lord ministered to him. And he was able to go 40 days. I mean, that's quite a quick charge. You know, I have a charger that you hook up to the battery, and it'll do something like 200 amps continuous and 600 amps on a surge. And you can hook it up to something and crank the engine with a dead battery almost. And after you're cranking it and get it started, you can go out there and those cables are, they're warm. 600 amps, that's a lot of current. But I'm going to tell you, just because you got it running, you shut it off, it might be dead again. It's just a quick charge. But Elijah got a quick charge right there, and he got him going again. And the Lord took him to a place or he could start putting some strength back in him. You know, if we don't get alone with the Lord, that's what Elijah did, didn't he? He was in a cave. Even in Elijah's day, I don't think many people lived in a cave. He's in a cave by himself with the Lord. And the Lord came and began to speak to him. And I believe, is this where the raven fed him for a while? No. Maybe I got a couple stories mixed up. But he got alone with the Lord, and the Lord was able to put him on a slow charge. If we try to go, you know, I got a couple points I want to make this morning. I believe it's so important for us to come to service when we're discharged spiritually. It's so important. Because we can be recharged to the point that our spiritual life can be jump-started again. So important to come. But please don't try to just go from one jump start to another jump start. Get alone with the Lord. Let's look at Peter in Luke, the 22nd chapter. You know, Peter, bless his heart, was living on a surface charge. That's what we call it when we quick charge something. The charge is just on the surface. It's not really a thorough charge of the battery. And Peter was somehow surviving on a surface charge. You live with Christ. You're with Him day in, day out, and all of this. And Peter, he thought he had to, you know, just because it was running, you don't want to shut something off a lot of times. Let's go to Luke chapter 22, and we're going to read beginning verse 31. And the Lord said, this is Jesus speaking to Peter. He said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Peter, there's going to be some times that you're going to be spiritually tested, contested. And he said, Satan is going to sift you as wheat. You know, you can come to a service, whether it's here or anywhere you go, that the Lord really ministers to you, and you go away thinking, I don't know why I was so discouraged. The Lord really does love me, and I'm re-in charge and all that. But he said, Simon, Satan's out there, and he's going to try to sift you as wheat. He said, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And what did Peter say? Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both to prison and to death. Peter thought he had it all together, and really he only had a surface charge. Because it goes on, and he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And I don't think Peter could see it. He thought, I'm up and going. We've just had this time together. I'm encouraged. The Lord's lifted you up out of that place where you felt like the plug was pulled out on you. And it just felt like he had it all together. And you might feel that too when you walk out of service. Maybe just after camp meeting, you feel like, my, I've got my batteries charged up. I'm ready to go against all of the obstacles of the world. You might have even thought in your mind, nothing can touch me. I'm like Peter here. I'm ready to go to prison or to death for the Lord. And Jesus said, Peter, you just got a surface charge. Be careful. Satan's out there. He wants to sift you like, you know, the devil wants to sift us. 1 week after the end of Monarch Camp Meeting, you know, the devil wants to sift you. He's got you in his sights and he wants to sift you. And I want to go down to something now. We all want quick results, don't we? But the last term that I put up here on the board says trickle charge. In other places in the industry, it's called a battery maintainer. And I told you that I had a charger that would charge 200 amps continuous and maybe 600 amps. They call it a boost or a starter mode. You know how much amperage one of these battery maintainers will put out? Maybe 500 to 750 milliamps. That's less than 1 amp. How long do you think it takes to charge a battery up fully on a battery maintainer? A long time. A long time. Even if a parasitic drain is smaller than that, 50 milliamps, and this will put out 500, maybe 750 milliamps, less than one, but it'll keep the battery at full capacity. And you know, I want us to be at full capacity, because from time to time, we're going to have some Elijah experiences in our life that's going to take us down. And I believe the Lord's faithful. He'll come out and slap the jump pack on us, and he'll get us going again. But don't just go from one jump start to the next. The message today is all about making sure you got a trickle charger. Making sure you've got a battery maintainer, a spiritual battery maintainer. I'd like for us to go to 2 Timothy and notice a verse over here. This is incredibly important to our spiritual success in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I would like to go down here to verse 3, common verse. He says, Peter, or Paul says, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Whether we have a heritage of ancestors that have been solid people for the Lord or not, the principle here is that there is a great deal of time represented when we say grandmother, mother, and now in you. That's spanning three generations. And anything that spans three generations, even if I had a friend of mine that his mother was 16 years older than him when we went to school. Even if it's still three generations, you're still past 30 years. And it could be 90 years, three generations. But Lord, help us to get a hold of not so much, I don't have ancestors, so I can't be successful. No, that's not the point. The point is that we're willing to spend the time to be trickle charged. You know, I'm thankful that we have some incredible jump packs today to start vehicles. Things, the first time I saw one of these little lithium ion jump packs come in, and they said, oh, this little thing here that's about the size of this songbook, this will start a car that's completely dead. And I said, got to show me. I was born in Missouri. And they did, and it would. And I'm very grateful for those things that we have that I can carry out, and I don't have to lug a full-size battery out in the parking lot to start something now. But that's not the end of the story. You cannot fully charge a battery in 3.9 seconds. You might get it to start. You cannot change a life from discouraged and discharged to at full capacity spiritually in a 29-minute message or a 49-minute, whatever, 50-minute message. You can't do that. You can get a jump start. You can be encouraged. You can say, I know by the grace of God, I can do it. I know I got my plug back in and I got the water out. You can do that. But if we don't go get on a trickle charger, if we don't start investing the time that it takes to get it up to full capacity, we're going to find ourselves needing another jump start and another jump start. The best of us is going to need a jump start once in a while. The one that's most diligent is going to find themselves discouraged and distraught and going to need somebody that'll come in and say, Brother Dan, the Lord still loves you and He cares about you. And we're here to help you. And we're going to pray with you. Don't give up. We need all of those times. We're going to find those places. I've been there. But when I get off of the jump pack, I need to get on the trickle charger. Timothy had been charged spiritually for two prior generations. I'm not asking you this morning if you've been charged by two generations before you. I'm asking you, have you had your trickle charger hooked up since Monarch? Have you been applying yourself to getting a little closer to the Lord? Or you just been running off of a jump start? It's so important for us to have a continual trickle of connection with God on a daily basis, to be able to be strengthened and get our capacity. You know, severe discharge can bring an ultimate demise to a battery. And if it's discharged too often, it'll usually kill it. The only way to fully recover one that's been completely discharged is you kind of get the voltage level up to a certain level, and then it's a trickle charge. And if you're this morning, if you've been discharged, maybe it's the circumstances of life, maybe it's neglect, maybe, I don't know. I want you to know the Lord loves us, each one of us. And He wants you to be strengthened. And He wants you to get up. He wants you to eat today. He wants you to take in some nourishment. And He wants you to get to rolling again, spiritually. But from there, please get on a trickle charger. Feed your soul on a daily basis. Get some good nourishment coming in. Oh, just a little bit. You know, we all have those parasitic drains. We all have those things that just take a little bit out of us every day. We don't have to have a big event. We just have those things that if we don't refresh it, it'll ultimately bring us down to a discharge. I will tell you a little secret. If you quit driving your car and you go someplace for a month, and you don't put it on a trickle charger, odds are your battery will be dead when you get back. I don't care. It could be a brand new car. And they might be worse than the old one. But if you leave it because of parasitic drain, the battery will go dead. That's why we have to take a proactive approach. I have to be willing to trickle in a little bit. One scripture in the Old Testament says line upon line, precept upon precept. Gain just a little bit every day. Sometimes you feel like, oh, I don't know if I got hardly anything. But did you try? Did we try? Did we put some effort into it? Put some effort daily. That's my plea. That's my cry today. Lord, help us to get us a trickle charger plan and ask the Lord to help us to be diligent at it. And I believe we can all be successful by the grace of God. You pray for me.